Let the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart be acceptable unto thee, O Lord, my strength and redeemer.
Amen.
Thank you. Please be seated. Earlier in the week, I was really struggling, and you'll hear part of that come out in the sermon or homily. I don't know if I've learned to distinguish the difference between the two. I think there's some ways one and the same. You know, last week...
I pray 10 people tell this nine is wrong.
Oh, okay. A homily is shorter, is that it?
That's what Jack
said. Okay.
I'll change the word in the program then.
Oh, no. You know, last week we spoke about being one in the Spirit, and we explored that pretty thoroughly. And today we're going to talk about walking in the Spirit. I actually chose that title before I got into the lesson. And but before I get into the meat of the lesson today, I thought it noteworthy to point out that in today's passage, verse 1, we learn that the daily hour of prayer is designated as the ninth hour. Therefore, we at our Savior Anglican Catholic Church are continuing the ancient Jewish tradition of conducting morning prayer at Parkwood Presbyterian Church on the appointed hour of 9 o'clock. Mm-hmm. How cool is that? Man, we're in the cool stage now, aren't we? And now think about it. Here we are. We're referenced in the Bible, you and me, in the Holy Scriptures, verse 1. So tell all your friends. Tell all your friends. Shout out far and wide, and we'll tell them that this coming week when we get down to Athens. Y'all might be who you are, but we're in the Bible. So I believe it's important that we continue this practice of abiding in our ancient customs and traditions of the early Christians in the early church, who adopted much of their behavior from their Jewish ancestors. In today's gospel, we witness a miracle conducted by St. Peter and St. John by helping a lame man walk again. Indeed, it is appropriate that this miracle, the first conducted by his apostles, was to what? To help a man walk. This miracle is not lost on us. It isn't a coincidence that this very message today is walking in the Spirit. This passage reveals yet a miracle helping a man's flesh, but today we will learn about the miracle of helping a man's spirit. In many ways, this lesson is like one of Christ's many parables, where he speaks in ways that are often difficult for us to understand, including his apostles. In fact, in the New Testament, there are 39 parables, and most of those parables, until the very end, the disciples did not know what he was talking about. In fact, no one knew what he was talking about. It was only at the very end that Christ took them aside to explain what these parables meant. So it's no different today than it was 2,000 years ago. For instance, I didn't pick up the correlation of walk until I reread the passage, and then the Holy Spirit revealed it to me. I was amazed, astonished, and humbled at best. This came to me after a day of personal struggles, my own struggles, both spiritually and physically. I think this is also important because God does not always talk to us when things are going great, does he? I think when things are going great, we do not hear God because we feel we do not need God. In fact, it seems we're usually too busy for God. But he has a way of getting to us, either fortunately or unfortunately. But it's usually when we fall into trouble, isn't it? So God is ready and willing to walk with us anytime. But if we find we are disconnected to God, it is not his fault. I can assure you, most likely it's our fault. We are the ones that's fallen away, not God. He is always there, always constant. Most always, in our weakness or helpless condition, that he is able to connect with us, and even the godless call upon God when they are in need or trouble. Isn't that fascinating? We are more open and willing to hear God perhaps when we are down and out, but when things are going great, it seems that we don't have time for them. In these situations, it seems that we are more willing and focused on him when we need him. No doubt he's always making every attempt to communicate with us at all hours of the day. Whichever case it is, I, for many, and glad he is still there when we need him. What I'm saying is that learning to walk in the Spirit is learning to walk with God when we don't need him. God wants to be our friend, our every companion. Think about this for a moment and put ourselves in God's shoes. How would we feel if a friend calls us only when they are in need or trouble? What kind of friend is that? A fair-weather friend, I suppose? It would not be long before we tired of a friend like that who's always in need or trouble or calling on us for a helping hand. Is that the kind of friend we want to be with our Heavenly Father? Don't you think God feels the same way as we do about those who constantly call on him only when it is convenient for them? I would say they're probably categorized as selfish people. But God wants us to be selfless people. He wants to be our friend in bad times and in good times. In fact, I believe God has the same feelings that we do. In their wonderful book by Dr. Tim Clinton and Dr. Joshua Straub entitled God Attachment, Why You Believe, Act, and Feel the Way You Do About God, we learn, as we did last week, that we live in a creation that is interconnected. We talked about the metaphysical last year. It is a metaphysical universe, and we are at the center of it all, and so is God. If we examine our trials and tribulations, or said another way, our needs and troubles, we find that when we're in the crucible, or that cauldron, and it's all heated up, we're usually there because we've lost connection with God. We find that we have wandered away from God. Therefore, if we reconnect with God, we will find ourselves spiritually filled again. I've often said that I need to attend a worship service somewhere every week, for if I do not, in a week or two, I can tell my spiritual energy is sapped. It is not only imperative for me, it is crucial that I experience the fellowship of Christ with other believers. And after I leave a Sunday service, I feel empowered to go forth to preach and teach the Word of God and to build on His kingdom on earth. The daily grind of the following week and the struggles that come my way usually wear me down, and by the time Sunday gets around, I'm ready for a recharging of my spirit. And I'm sure you probably feel the same way too. I describe this connection to God as a power source. If we compare our relationship to God as an electrical current, then when we are plugged into the wall socket, our energy is constant and fully charged. I know my cell phone will run out of energy, and then I can't use it until I charge it up again. So if we wander off or disconnect or unplug from the wall socket, then we're out of energy and in need of reconnecting. If we disengage with the Scripture, then we're disconnected with God. So this is how we walk in the Spirit. We pray, we meditate, we fast, we talk to God. And most importantly, we listen. Many years ago, I spent some time at Metcalfe Abbey, part of my early training to be a priest. They're Roman Catholic priests of a Trappist order, Cistercian order. And their life is spent in silence. Everyone knows where Monk's Corner is, the Metcalfe Abbey, wonderful place. They've got a little gift shop. Anyhow, you can book a cabin and go stay for a few days, and that's what I did. But you have to follow their rules. The rules are you cannot speak. So you go days without speaking. There's 1 hour in the day from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock. You can meet a monk over at the chapel and in a room in the corner, and you can actually verbally talk to them if you have any cares or concerns. So their life is spent in silence. And the reason and the theory behind it is this. If they're talking, they cannot hear God. But if they're silent, they can listen and hear God when God is speaking to them. And I can attest to you that after 3 days of living in silence and attending all the different services, then there's 8 or 9, I can't name them all, Terce, Sun, Compline, starting at 3 o'clock in the morning, to 6 o'clock in the morning, to 9 o'clock in the morning, then you have breakfast, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and then the great ending of the day. All those times are in prayer. But at the end of 3 days, my ear was so much more attuned to God than I've ever had in my entire lifetime. And you have to train yourself to be listening to God, because God actually does speak to us. As we talked last week, being one in the Spirit, that one being the Holy Spirit that comes and becomes a part of us. Well, that's part of the Trinity. That means that Jesus Christ and God are part of us too. We're all interconnected. We're one in that Spirit. So we learn to listen to God when He speaks to us through prayer, fasting, meditation. Then we're able to begin walking in the Spirit. There's one more example I want to give you. In my clinical work, I have patients who, by reason of a stroke or otherwise, they cannot speak. There's a ministry called Presence Ministry. Quite frankly, it's this simple. It's just being there, sitting with that patient, sitting by the bed, letting your spirit talk to that spirit of that patient. I've got one patient now who's got a stroke, cannot speak, but she'll smile sometimes when I'll speak to her, sometimes in sign language, but I'll just speak to her and let my spirit talk to her and hers talk to me. And I can tell her facial expression when I leave that she's been touched by God. And it's very meaningful to me. It's just a wonderful experience. So that's a powerful ministry. And the power is enriched by the presence of Jesus Christ. So if you have any friends in a condition such as this, I commend you to go visit with them and let your presence, let your spirit walk with them. And finally, in reference to the miracle conducted by St. Peter and St. John, I use the word conducted rather than performed. That's a very big distinction. The performance, mind you, is by the Holy Spirit, not by man. And they later said that to the people who were there. Therefore, the basis for the power inherent in the apostles is given in St. Luke chapter 9, where we read Christ Jesus gave his apostles to do four things. We read, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons, to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. These four powers he gave to his disciples, our apostles, and ultimately his priest through apostolic succession. But where does this power come from? The power to do these things comes from God through Jesus Christ, who empowers us. In verse 12 we read, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? I'm going back to kind of tell you. They thought it was the men doing this. No. Why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? Peter corrects them in verse 13 by saying, it is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorifying his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, it's the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yes, it is the power of God through the disciples and through us that deserves the credit. We by ourselves are powerless, but with God working through us, we are all powerful. Indeed, the summary of the scriptures tells us that the power in us is greater than the power that's in the world. Isn't it ironic that Jesus reminds us in St. John, then Pilate said to him, and this is Pilate speaking, are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you? And Jesus answered by saying, you have no power at all against me unless it has been given you from above. Last week we learned that we are one in the Spirit. This week we've learned lessons on how to walk in the Spirit. God gives us power to walk in the Spirit as long as we stay connected with Him. It is by our faith in God through Jesus Christ that God will make us into the children of God that He tends us all to be. Thus saith the Lord, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.